Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Oh, God is good. Oh, he's good all the time. The book of Isaiah says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And his whole earth, the whole earth is full of his glory. Oh, his goodness is on display before us every day. Oh, we exist in it. We live in it. I think the problem is we're so accustomed to it. Oh, his provisions before us, his beauties before us, his creations before us. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen? God is good. He's called for each and every single one of us to experience his goodness, to live in his goodness, his overwhelming goodness. Amen? But I got to tell you this morning, I have a message, and this message is birthed inside of me because I really am bothered about something. I believe there's a ton of people. I believe that so many people do not experience the goodness of God. Let me tell you, this message that I have today was birthed with a conversation. It started with a conversation that I had with a pharmacist here in town. I went to the pharmacy, and if you live in Western Kentucky, you probably have allergies like me, right? And so I went to the pharmacist, and one thing that I always do is I'm really intentional about speaking to people in the service industry. Like, you know, I used to work retail, and it'd be amazing to me. I would talk to someone and say, hey, how are you today? And they would walk on by and not even acknowledge me. And so I'm really intentional about speaking to people. And if you have a name badge on, I'm going to call you by your name. And that typically freaks people out. Like, hey, Mark, how are you? And they're like, yes, I'm Mark, you know. It freaks them out. But, you know, there's value communicated there. And so I went to this pharmacist, and I was talking, and I got my sinus medicine. And you got to show your driver's license to get sinus medicine today, and that's kind of weird. And I was like, how are you doing today? And her response shocked me. She goes, it's not too terrible. Not too terrible. And the crazy thing was this, is that she was saying this statement, it's not too terrible, as if that was the statement for it's a good day. I mean, her standard for it's a good day was, it's not too terrible. And I'm like, oh, I was just shocked. It was as if she wrote on a piece of paper, folded that piece of paper up, slid that piece of paper across the counter, and I opened it up and it said, help! Ladies and gentlemen, I see weariness everywhere. I see weariness everywhere. I see so many people that are fatigued and frustrated with life. I see so many people who are confused and they're without aim and they're without hope and they have no trajectory towards the promises and purpose in their life. I see people who are just totally lost in the toil and the process of life. It's everywhere. And this is not God's intention for us. God intends for us to dwell in the fullness and his goodness of his glory. Amen? You are a child of a living God. And as his children, you are called and formed and created in his image to dwell in his goodness. He deposited purpose in every single one of you. Every single one of you were created in the image of God, and every single one of you have purpose in your life. Not only did he give you purpose, but he gives us this ability to dwell with him. We are not castaways from the presence of God. No, he's called us to come close to the creator of the heavens and earth. He's called us to come close to the creator of the heavens and earth. And I'm telling you, God has more fullness, more meaning, more value, more abundance before us. And I believe that so many people live beneath God's intention for them. Amen? And I believe that this is the greatest indictment against us. When we get to heaven, I believe that this is the greatest indictment against us. God is going to say, listen, I gave you my beloved son, left the throne of heaven, wrapped himself in a vest of dust, dwelt among you. He died a brutal death to set you free. I've adopted you as my own, marked you and sealed you with the Holy Spirit. I imparted inside of you the Holy Spirit. I gave you eyes to see and ears to hear. I gave you a holy word that was a light upon your feet and a lamp into your pathway. I gave you a house of God to worship me in. I gave you provision. I gave you a house. I gave you clothes. I gave you food. I protected you. I guarded you. I set you free. I delivered you. I healed you. I comforted you. And all of that, you still couldn't find fulfillment in me. The greatest indictment against us all. How come we're so easily angered? How come we're so easily hostile? Why is it that everything offends us? Listen. Weariness attaches itself to us all. Weariness attaches itself to us all, and it's very stubborn, and it's very hard to shake. But I believe I have a word today that has some truth in it. And I believe that if you can grab hold of some of these nuggets of truth, I don't care how you stumbled into the house of God today. I don't care how you feel today. I don't care what your week looks like. I don't care what your month looks like. I don't care where you're at right now. I believe that this word, if you take hold of it, will begin to lift the heaviness and weariness off of you. Amen? Oh, give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, you with me this morning? Say amen. All right, let's roll. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. I'm excited today. I'm excited. I also have sinus medicine and a cup of coffee in me, so I feel pretty good. Man, you take that sinus medicine with a cup of coffee. I'm ready for worship again. Bring up the band. Genesis chapter 29. We're talking about Jacob. I like Jacob. Jacob was a scoundrel. Man, that's why we all like Jacob. We're like, yeah, I see a little bit of myself in there, you know. I like Jacob. Genesis 29, verse 9. Please follow along. While he was still talking with them, talking about Jacob, Rachel came with her father's sheep. She was a shepherd. When Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of his uncle Laban, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, and he began to weep aloud. He told Rachel that he was a relative of her father, a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob stayed with him for a month, Laban said to him, "Just because you're a relative of mine, should you work for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure. Wow. Hey. And she was beautiful. All right. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I will work 7 years in return for your younger daughter." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days. But they seemed like only a few days. Why? Because he loved her. Amen? Now let me recap. Let me bring you up to speed of where we're at. We all know about Jacob and Esau, the battle between the brothers. Jacob secured the blessing of Isaac's household. He secured the birthright, and he stole it from his older brother Esau. Now, Isaac has passed away, and the rumor in the camp is that Esau now is going to kill Jacob. So his mom, Rebekah, comes up to him and says, you have to flee. Esau is going to kill you. Now, I want you to flee, and I want you to find yourself a wife, but I don't want you to marry a Canaanite woman like your brother did. Esau married some Canaanite, took some Canaanite women as his wives, and they drove Rebekah nuts. He says, I'm sending you to my uncle's house. I want you to go there and find yourself a wife. So Jacob was forced to leave. He was forced to leave everything that he thought was going to be his. And he goes on this journey of faith and obedience. His mom said, you need to leave. And he obeys. Everyone says, mom knows best, right? So he leaves. But he's scared. He's lost everything. He's on this journey, and he has this dream. And God says in this dream, he confirms to him in this dream that everything you thought you lost will be yours one day. And Jacob gets up from this dream, and he journeys a little bit, and he goes to this well. And here he's at this well, and up walks Rachel. And Rachel was fine. She was fine. There's three components that I want to talk about today that I believe that if you take hold of will lift heaviness in your life. Three components will lift away weariness. Three components will help us live in the fullness of God's intention for our lives. And number one is passion. Passion. Number one is passion. Passion is overwhelming goodness and connection. Overwhelming goodness and connection. Not just overwhelming goodness, but overwhelming goodness and connection. So you got to understand, when Jacob saw Rachel, he wept. He wept. He was so moved, and he kissed her. And this was a moment of passion. You have to understand again that Jacob left everything, and he was in search of trying to establish his life. And it started with a wife. And he left everything in hopes that he was going to find a wife. And now, before him, is this overwhelming goodness and connection. It's not just hoped for, it's a reality. It now stands before him, and that's the connection. Overwhelming goodness and connection. Amen? And it moved Jacob's heart. Passion. We've all had these moments, right? I remember as a husband, the time when I was dating Mandy, and we went on a couple dates, and I knew right away that she was the one. She was the one. I knew right away. And I had this passion in my heart. It moved me because she was created. I was created. And we were created to be together. And I knew it. And people were like, y'all need to slow down. I was like, no way. I found the one. Amen? Listen, I know all of us here, if you're married today, your spouse is the one. Your spouse moved your heart. Your spouse is a moment of passion. Amen? Amen? Oh, my Lord. I mean, if there's a place to say amen, you got to say, I mean, your spouse is sitting right next to you. Be like, yeah, amen. Your spouse used to be a moment of passion. Lord, mercy. Amen? Some of y'all playing, my God, why have thou forsaken me? But that person used to be a passion and is a passion. Listen, they were created. Y'all were created to be together. Amen? I remember when I was in the hospital and Aaron was born. And the doctors gave me my first child. And you know, Aaron was born, they wrapped Aaron up, and they just handed her to me. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, I'm not ready for this yet, you know? I need to, like, I was holding Aaron like this, like, you know, I cannot drop this child. But I remember that there was a moment when she was wrapped up and her eyes opened up. And it was the first time that we exchanged a look. And it was a moment of passion. I was holding this awesomeness and we exchanged this look and she was created. We were created to be together. Amen? There's another great moment of passion in my life. I stood at the altar in a church in Kansas City, covered with the weight of sin and shame. Everything you could think of, I did. Did it well. I stood at this altar with the heaviness of sin and shame. And just one moment, the blood of Christ washed it all away. And I got to experience the overwhelming goodness and connection of Christ. Amen? It's passion. Moved my heart. There's another passion that we need to talk about. We don't talk about it much, but it's a reality in our life. It's actually a call. It's a call. It's part of our purpose. God's called each and every one of us to go and make disciples. But there's a passion in my life. I love to take people who don't know Christ and usher them to the place of them meeting overwhelming goodness and connection. It's passion. Amen. Jacob saw Rachel and his heart moved. And she was his passion. It moved so much that the Bible says that he moved the stone away from the mouth of the well. Now, this is crazy because it's noted that it takes two or three men to move this stone away. But he walked up to her, kissed her, and was like, "Hey, baby girl, don't worry about this stone. Go ahead and move this for you real quick." That's why that's in there. He probably looked at her and said, "You know, I work out a little bit. Move that stone out of the way. Let me water these sheep." Amen? Passion. Passion. Now listen, we're talking about living in the fullness of God's intention for our life. We're talking about lifting heaviness and weariness off of our life. And there's 1,000 different messages that can be spoken about this topic, this theme. And when I'm talking about passion today, I want to center our attention on two things. Family and faith. Family and faith. Amen? It moved Jacob's heart. And our faith must move our heart. Amen? Our families must move our heart. Amen? Why? Because we were created to be together. And that's why your heart moved. The next component of living in the fullness of God's intention for us is purpose. What we have to understand about the passions that we just discovered is that these passions, our family and our faith, they actually define for us what our purpose is. They define for us what our purpose is in the daily service of our lives, in the daily toil. I call that the process of life. Every single one of us either has a job, we have responsibilities, we have things that we have to toil with each and every day. And that's the process of life. Amen? But our passions define, our passions motivate us. They give us purpose in our daily service. Amen? Jacob was so moved with passion that he says, "I will work 7 years to win the heart of my love." And his daily service was defined because of his passion. Passion. Passion defined his service. Passion defined his daily existence. Passion defined his toil. Now, you got to understand this about Jacob. Okay? He was now a hired hand for his uncle and his uncle's few sheep. This was the man who acquired the blessing and birthright of the Isaac household. Isaac's household was so prosperous that nations made treaties with him. Nations came up to Isaac and said, "Listen, you've become too much. You have to go, but make a treaty with us that you'll never harm us, that you'll never attack us." We're not talking about a few sheep with Isaac's household. We're talking about an empire. An empire to behold. An empire to behold. And Jacob, he cheated his brother Esau out of the birthright. He cheated his brother Esau out of the blessing. And he was supposed to be named the CEO of this Isaac household empire. And he had to leave it all. He had to leave it all. And God, in a dream, came to him and said, "Listen, I want you to know that everything you thought you lost is actually before you. Amen? But here's the deal. You're not going to be able to cheat the process. Oh, I know you stole the birthright, and I know you stole the blessing. I want you to know all those things are before you, but you're not going to cheat the process." See, I know a lot of people that want the blessings. I know a lot of people that want the fullness. I know a lot of people that want all the things that are before them. They just don't want to go through the process. And God's saying, "No, those things are before you. But you're going to have to go through the process." And now the process has you, Jacob, Mr. CEO, a hired hand. But I want you to know that this job was so beneath Jacob, but it didn't make him disgruntled. He didn't mind. Why? Because he loved Rachel. His passion was greater than the toil. And his passion defined for him purpose. Purpose in his daily service. I don't know where you're at in your career. I don't know where you're at in your daily toil. I don't know where you're at in your daily service. I don't know if you say to yourself, "You know what? I was meant to be more than this." I want you to know, if you can connect with your family and your faith, and if they can become your passions, they will define for you the purpose of your life. Amen? Oh, let's give God a hand clap of praise. You know, even in this, he worked 7 years, and the Bible said what? It said those 7 years was like just a few days. 7 years comes to pass. He looks at his uncle. He says, "You know what today is? Today's the day I get my wife." And in a moment of confusion, his uncle cheated him and gave him the older sister first. Jacob was slighted, cheated, let down. I know a lot of us can say that about our story, right? Maybe in the process of life you've been cheated. Maybe in the process of life there was a moment where you've been slighted, where you felt let down, right? Jacob took that moment, and he was discouraged for a moment. I mean, who wouldn't be? He worked 7 years. But he looked at Rachel and said, "I tell you what, I'll work another 7 years to win the heart of the one I love." I don't know what your letdown might be, but you can overcome it. And you overcome it by looking at your passion. And when your passion becomes so great, it will define for you your purpose, and you can work another 7 years. Every single one of us has been slighted, and every single one of us has been let down. But if you can connect with your family and your faith, it will define for you and help you lift the weariness off of you. Amen? Passion. His heart was moved. The second thing was purpose. And our third thing is this. It was the prize. The third component to living in the fullness of God's intention was the prize, the prize, the prize. Yeah. He worked 7 years to win the heart of the one he loved. He worked 7 years to be with the one that he was created and meant to be with. Amen? Now, this is where so many people get messed up on living in the fullness of God's intention. We think the fullness of God's intention is founded in things. Oh, if I had a better house with a pool. You always got to throw the pool in there, right? I mean, if you're going to pray, be like, Lord, give me a new house and a pool. We always think it is clothes or cars, right? We always think that you look at someone who's got these things, we're like, oh, they got the blessing and the favor of God. Listen, those things are nothing but a byproduct. The favor of God is when he allows you to capture heart. David was a shepherd boy, right? And God says, I am calling you to be a ruler of my people. I am calling you to be a ruler of my people. And the favor of God was on David. And the favor of God was that David was able to capture the heart of Israel. And the people championed his name. And when they championed his name, it ushered him to the palace. And at the palace was all of these things. These things are nothing more than a byproduct. Amen? The thing you got to understand is this, is that you can have all the things in the world and still not be able to capture heart. You can have all the things in the world and still not capture heart. You might capture a fan club. That's a little different than capturing heart. I remember when I was a mortgage lender, we were broke. Like, we were so poor, like scary poor. I'm not saying, like, you know, we couldn't go out to eat at a fancy restaurant. No, I was like, we were, like, poor. Fed by ravens poor. And I told Mandy, I said, listen, I can go through it as long as I know that you and I are good. She was my heart, right? I said, I know we can go through it as long as you and I are good. I mean, you could take all the things away from me, but as long as you and I are good, I'm good. You know? And the opposite can happen, you know? You can have all the things in the world, but if her and I aren't good, then it's not good. I mean, all those things don't mean nothing there. I told her, I said, you can take it all away as long as you and I are good. She was like, well, I don't know. Maybe not all the things. It was the prize. He worked. Listen, our prize has to be our passion. That has to be our family and our faith. Amen? Do you understand that this job was real? That this shepherding, this hired hand was real? That the sheep were real and they stink? The weather was real. The toil was real. The heat was real. The elements were real. But it was just like a few days because of her love, because his love for her. The toil was real. Amen? But he had his eye on the prize. Now, what allowed him to be so motivated to deal with this every day? What allowed him to deal with this? I mean, this job was beneath him, the future CEO. What allowed him to overcome this? It was that Rachel was in his presence daily. I could see him in his tent, and he's like, man, I can't do it today. Those dumb sheep. And you know his uncle wasn't the brightest person in the world, right? He's like, this uncle, my God. But one look of his love motivated him for another day of service. Amen? She was in his presence daily. Daily. We have to spend time with our prize. Amen? And our prize has to be in our presence daily. Listen, Mandy and I recently went to Nashville. It was my birthday, and she said, we're going to go to Nashville without the kids. All right. We're going to go to Nashville without the kids. We went out to dinner, and it was just an awesome weekend. I mean, it was so awesome. I mean, on the way home, I was like, if you want to get rid of the children, I think we can work this out. Do you know that my August was so busy? My August was so hard on me. But I had this date set in front of me to be with my prize. And I was able to go through the heaviness of my August because I had this date set for me in September. Right? Do you understand as a spouse that only you can minister to your spouse? That you were created, designed to minister to your spouse, and no one else can do it but you. No one else can be the emotional support, the physical supporter, champion you spiritually. Only you can compliment your spouse. Amen? It's what I was created and meant to do. We were meant to be together. And I valued the prize. She is my passion. And I valued it. This weekend, Maddie and I had a date night. And I love date nights. My youngest is 9 years old. And I get her in the car. And we were on our way to rent Captain Underpants. Wonderful movie. And we rented Captain Underpants, and we wanted to get this big, we went to Walmart, we got this big jug of cheese puffs. And we wanted to see how many cheese puffs we could physically eat as we watched Captain Underpants. And it was disgusting. But I'm got Maddie in the front seat. I mean, she can barely see over the dash. And I love holding my kids' hands. And I talk to her as if she's an adult. And I go, "How's your life, Maddie?" She's like, "Fourth grade, Dad." I'm like, "Yeah, fourth grade. You know, you understand our kids got more pressure on them than we can even understand. Like, you know, we laugh it off, but it's real to them." She's like, "Science." I'm like, "Yeah, you got a lot of science right now." And I'm holding her hand. And in that moment, I just felt this heart being captured. She captured my heart, and I captured hers. And because I was talking with her, because I was spending time with her, because I was listening with her, I captured her heart. Family and faith. And I will tell you that all the things that I went through during that week were lost in that moment. Because she was my passion, and she defined my purpose. Amen? There's another connection with overwhelming goodness that's to be in our life daily. He captured our hearts. He paid the price to be with us. As crazy as it sounds, we are actually his prize. He's the bread of life. And if we consume that bread each and every day, he promises that he will lift away weariness. See, Jacob had Rachel in his life daily. I don't think that Jacob could have went through it if he spent one day a week with her. Every other weekend, maybe. Maybe he spent every other weekend. I just don't think it's enough to lift the weariness. I think if he only seen Rachel once a month, he'd probably say, "You know, it's not too terrible." No, he's seen her daily. Because he's seen her daily, the 7 years seemed like a few days. God has captured our hearts because he sent his one and only son, his beloved, to die for each and every single one of us. And upon that cross, he had us all in full view. Amen? The bread of life is to be consumed daily. And I know so many people that are weary. I know so many people that are heavy-hearted. I know so many people that are frustrated. And One of the reasons why is because you simply have not spent time with the passion. God is the creator of passion. God is the creator of life. Amen? He created life. Isaiah says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Every single day that we get to exist in is created out of His goodness. Specifically designed for us to experience His goodness this day. There's so much goodness, so much provision, so much blessing around each and every single one of us. And He's simply waiting for us to respond. Amen? Oh, there's this thought that I believe is so foreign to us. It's so absent from us. Jeremy, come on up. Please, buddy. Sorry. You will come up here now. There's this thought that is so absent from us. Do you believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe that He's called you and adopted you as a child of the living God? And do you believe that you're His prize? Then you've got to understand that your worship pleases Him. Your worship matters. Only you can be that person for your spouse. Only you can be that parent for your child. And only you can be a child for God. You've been adopted as a child of the living God. Only you can do that. You can fulfill the purpose in your life. He's put passion and love in your heart, faith in your heart. And He's asking, He wants to have a church that will respond to His goodness. Listen, some of you are so heavy. Some of you are so weary because you simply have not connected yourself with Christ. The overwhelming goodness. Oh, He's trying to capture your attention each and every day. Listen, if you have heaviness on you, if you are weary, if you are lost in the shuffle, if your toil has become too much, you have to make connection with your Creator. Sometimes what you need to do is shake off your own feelings and praise God. Connect with the goodness. Connect with His amazing love. Oh, He wants to fill you. And just like when I held Maddie's hand, He wants to hold yours. And in that exchange, you will feel this warmth, this peace, this connection with your Creator. Your heart will be moved because it's what you were created to do. But I see people who walk in to the house of God at 11 o'clock. Worship's already gone for 15 minutes. If we realize that one day we will bow our knee and our tongue will confess and we will gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. And He will say, "You're my prize." We will look back at our moments of worship and they will be before us. And some of us will just see us standing in the house of God. What happened there? Well, you know, it was a pretty tough Sunday. Why? Well, you know, a lot of things were going on. I just didn't feel like worshiping that. And feel like worshiping that day. Listen, when we're before the Lord, we won't even remember what was going on that day. We will simply look at it as a lost opportunity to please the Creator of the heavens and the earth. It's a lost opportunity for you to feel the overwhelming goodness of His presence. My question to you is this: was when was the last time you felt good? Oh, let us all stand up. Let us all stand up. The altar call happens right now, and it's going to happen right where you're standing. Some of you come into the house of God so weary, so heavy today, and I want you to know that there's an opportunity for you to hold hands with the Creator of the heavens and earth, and He's going to lift some of that weariness off of you right here, right now. But you have to respond to his presence. You have to respond to his goodness. And the response that he's looking for is this expression of holy hands lifted towards heaven. Oh, he wants you to center your attention on him and to open your mouth and to praise him. To say, thank you, God. Your glory's everywhere. Thank you, God. Oh, I recognize all that you've given me. Thank you, God. Oh, there's purpose in my life. Thank you, God. You've given me love. Thank you, God. Oh, the goodness is everywhere. It's right here and it's right now. Amen. Oh, we need every hand lifted towards heaven. You need this moment right now. Every hand lifted towards heaven. Oh, we're going to turn this house into a celebration in his honor. Amen. Oh, let the hearts be lifted. Let faith be lifted. We need to get...
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.